Right, I think if we procrastinate any further, we're never going to get this show started. You are listening to the Bugcast episode 109. What a fantastic start to the show.
I enjoyed that.
I seem to be keeping up the kicky start. Yes, absolutely. Good evening, one and all. It is Friday the 14th of May. It's just gone 20 past nine in the evening, and you are listening to the Bugcast, episode 109.
Sorry.
Thank you. I could see that coming.
I could feel it coming. That's why I was trying to avoid it, but sorry.
I've got to say, as the numbers tick up, being in three figures is actually quite an amazing feeling.
is.
Right. Caroline is being distracted by this kid's toy. Amy got it in a party bag for someone's, one of her nursery school friends' birthdays. And it's shaped like a little gun. And when you press the trigger, this kind of concertina thingy comes out and grabs. Like that, yes. And obviously Caroline thinks that's more exciting and attention-grabbing than this show.
Whatever.
No denial, then. Well, do your job and tell us who that first song was.
Yes, that was from Boys, Idaho. I'm thinking I've got that right, hopefully.
Not sure.
Sourced from Aerial Publicity, Subanaz with Resemblance. Subanaz is actually somebody called Kevin Auger, or A-U-G-E-R, so I'll let you consider how you pronounce that.
Auger.
He's a one-man alternative metal band with modern rock underpinnings. His name is a combination of one of his older song titles, which was Submission, and the guitar brand Ibanez.
I believe.
Stop picking on me. So Submission and Ibanez made Subanaz. Resemblance was recently re-recorded as a new version alongside Grant from the band Fly to Voice, who did the drums, and they said that doing it in the studio made it have a pretty decent, different feel. If you want to find out more, check out subanez.com, which is S-U-B-A-N-E-Z.com.
Thank you. And somebody in the chat room, I'm not going to say who because that's your job in a minute, has just told us that the correct pronunciation is Boise, Idaho.
Right, Boise.
I'm Marlene. Boise as in like Jay-Z.
Yes.
Kind of thing. Anyway, thanks as always to the gums from the Dumb Down.
It's not just me.
The guys from the Dumb Down Life for the use of their Shoutcast server. I nearly swore. Shoutcast server to allow those people that are in the chat room to hear us live at
thebugcast.org/live. We've got Chris Amethyst, we've got yourself, we've got Ian, we've got Katie, we've got Lainey, we've got me, and we've got Yanalua, John.
Fantastic. But you did trip up on Lainey's name.
No, I said Lainey for some reason.
Lainey. She's from down under. Hello, Lainey.
Well, apparently my new name is Charoline.
Charoline. Yes, according to our friends from down under, Judy and Irk from Channel Irk.
Because I think it's because Judy always thinks I'm called Sharon and then realizes I'm called Caroline, so they decided to merge the two and just call me Charoline.
Yes.
I suppose it could be worse. Because I remember when Big Brother came out, I started getting called Caggy.
Caggy, yes.
And I offered to kill whoever did that because I hate that name.
At least no one ever used to call you Caloline.
Caloline. Isn't that what Amy used to call me?
No, that's what Craig used to call Caggy.
Oh.
Craig in the Big Brother one. No, Amy calls you Mummy.
Yes. Or Oi.
Huh?
Or Oi,
yes.
Oh, no, she normally says, Gran, Mummy, no, Dad. She always gets the names confused, doesn't she?
Yeah, she always has trouble remembering who I am in the evenings, because obviously she spent sort of most of the day with her Gran and Grandad, and she'll say, Daddy. If she calls me Granddad, I just ignore her. Ignore her.
Blimey, we need to put
Why aren't you listening to me? Because you weren't talking to me. Yes, I was. No, you called me Granddad. Oh, Daddy. Yes. Yes, Amy is getting rather impressive, do you not think?
Yes. She has written her full name. So that is writing Amy Janet Eliza Lee.
Yes.
And I have to say, I never wanted to change how she does the letter I, because it looks like a balloon.
Yes, a line with a dot, which is kind of, you know, zoomed in about 1,000 times. You know how some people with cute handwriting do eyes with circles on the top of them? Well, Amy makes her circles about 4 times bigger than they should be, and then fills them in.
Yes. And the A's tend to look a bit like a Q, but she's getting there.
She's doing really well. I mean, admittedly, yes. It was copying from what you started, but she recognises that it's her name. I mean, she's actually started doing now what... I'm glad she doesn't listen to this show. What Kay used to do whenever we used to go out shopping and the like, when Kay was Amy's age. Kay is my little sister, by the way. 22
this year.
Twenty-two this year. Yeah. Yes, little sister. And we used to go to Safeway, and she'd look down at the bar on the trolley, and go, "Y A bubble U E." So she'd look at the letter, because it was obviously spelt the other way to her, but she'd go along and just read everything.
Amy did that.
She did that at Matalan at the weekend, past weekend. Mm.
So she's getting there.
She is. She's doing very well, I think. I mean, she's 4.5, just over 4.5 now. She'd be 5 in October. I can't believe it. Me being 4.5 was one of my earliest memories. Falling around after my mum like a lost dog, asking, "When am I going to be 5?
Well, apparently when Amy's 5, she's going to try vegetables.
Yeah, she has said that, and she's repeated it a number of times.
But she also told me this morning that when she goes to Gran, she's going to eat a grape.
Did she?
No.
No.
There were grapes there. She avoided them until they were all gone. She went, "Oh, I can't do it now. They've all gone."
She is so crafty. Cara's no better.
Cara's a little minx at the moment.
Hmm. And she's going to be 3 in just under 2 weeks.
That is scary.
Very scary indeed.
But she's still the baby of the family, and she's still got a babyer face than Amy had at that age.
But she's probably more... not deceitful, that's not the right word.
Astute.
Crafty.
Crafty, definitely.
Probably than you are.
Woo!
We do have, 15, 20 years on her. So. I'm on your good books now.
Toss off.
Class.
Shall we do another song?
No.
Yes.
No, because I haven't finished talking yet.
Well, you sort of brought something out of that section a bit higher up, so...
No, it's still after song one.
I suppose.
Oh, go on, let's do a song. We'll mention it afterwards.
Right, from...
Whose show is this?
Ours.
Oh, yeah.
From Rockport in the US, sourced from Jamendo. This is Kendra Springer with Hope, which we've played Kendra before. Just to remind you, she's a self-taught pianist who started playing when she was 12. And she does mainly instrumental. I think it is all instrumental, isn't it?
I think so, yes. The one we played last time was, and I'm pretty certain this one is as well.
So if you want to find out more, check out kendraspringer.com.
Thank you.
You're listening to a feed of the Association of Music Podcasting at musicpodcasting.org.
I'll never tire of her voice.
She's great. She yes. really is.
Well, from Fullerton in California, source from Aerial Publicity, that is Chamber of Echoes, who we have played quite a few times before on the show, but I don't think you can't get enough of that.
No, voice. Not at all.
The song was called Shade of My Spirit. Chamber of Echoes is a one-woman band with Clarissa Coral, described as industrial electronica synth rock project. It's an open concept of music, art, fashion and visual arts project. Described as a female version of NIMH, mixed with Depeche Mode, Evanescence, Kidney Thieves and The Birthday Massacre. Find out more, check out myspace.com/chamberofechoes.
I'm afraid your typo ability let you down.
Go on.
It's NIN.
NIM.
NIN. Nine-inch nails. Not NIM. Nine-inch...
Miles?
Metallic things.
Oh, dear.
Oh, never mind. Ah. Yes, last weekend.
Oh, was that a...
Yes, and here is the news. I sound like Ronnie Barker then.
Yes, Dave was a dirty stop out last weekend.
I got absolutely ratted. But I didn't get a hangover,
no.
Which is rare for me. Yes, it was Phil from Work's stag do last weekend. And on Saturday morning, I travelled down to the bottom end of the Peak District to join up with the rest of the crew, Richard, Andrew and Martin, and Phil, of course. There was supposed to be seven of us, but then it turned out to be... Stop it.
I've got to put that away.
And it turned out to be five of us in the end. And their first activity we did for the day was we did archery. I know it wasn't that bad. The second activity was rafting. That was fantastic. My scout knotting came back to me. And between the five of us, we managed to build the most stable raft that I have ever seen. And apparently the instructors have ever seen. When we asked them to comment on it before we actually went out in the water, said, you know, what do you think? And he looked at it and he looked at us and said, that is how we would instruct somebody to build a raft. I thought, yes, fantastic stuff. We went out on the water and I tell you what, that water was cold. Very, very cold. There was five of us, four in each corner and one in the middle. So we put Phil in the middle because he was the captain of the ship. And we had to go over to the other end of the Titisworth Reservoir, which is where we were. And we got over one side and he said you had to touch the pole that's sticking out of the reservoir. So rather than just sort of go up to it and reach over and touch it, Phil took it on himself to actually get out through the middle of the raft, almost completely submerged, swim over to it, touch it, and then come back the same way. That's nothing. Because once we went back, I mean, before we started our journey back, the instructors said, okay, well, we'll have a bit of fun here. Let's all stand up and swap places. That was interesting. Then we were going to do a rendition of the Grand Old Duke of York. As in, when they were up, we had to stand up. When they were down, we had to sit down. We told him where to go. Because none of us really wanted to go in. Except Phil. Because by the time we got back, and we got back on dry land, and sort of pulled the raft back onto the shore, you could see Phil was distracted, and he was looking down the jetty. And he said, how deep is it just the other end of the jetty? And immediately we all clicked what his plan was. And I thought to myself, do you know what? I need to get the camera for this. So we'd already got the camera out for the victory photo for the raft. And spent about a minute and a half faffing around with the camera because it wouldn't work. Every time I tried to take a photograph, it switched off. Every time I tried to shoot a video, it switched off. And I said, Phil, forget it. Just do it. He started from halfway down the jetty, legged it, bombed past me, dive-bombed into the reservoir, and froze solid. Apparently, it was so cold, he couldn't move.
Oh, dear.
That's not the worst bit. As he went into the water, he was kind of going something like... So his mouth totally and utterly filled with Reservoir Water, Goose Poo, whatever else was there. Oh, it was absolutely fantastic.
I have a question to ask you, dear.
What's that, my darling?
You took red long shorts, the kind that you take for going to the swimming baths.
They weren't long shorts.
Well, yeah, knee high.
No.
Well, just above the knees. Mm-hmm. And when you came home with the washing, I handled those and they were dry. But the underwear you wore underneath it was absolutely wringing.
Yes, that's because I got so scared. No. The reason that was because those things don't retain moisture anyway, the shorts. This is going to be really TMI, I do apologize. But when we were on our way across the river the first time, the instructor dude, they had a speedboat. Well, a slow speedboat, but a speedboat all the same. And they were like running rings around us and making the waves sort of come over the top. So I ended up sitting in a puddle of water where my weight kind of sunk a pool in the barrel that I was sitting on. So for the rest of the journey, I was sat in this pool of water. I did try and wring everything out before I brought it back, but obviously the pants were a bit more absorbent. Yes,
the pants were pants.
Yes, and then in the evening, evening was a fantastic event. We had lots of beer, lots of food, and a bottle of whiskey.
Oh no, you didn't tell me. See, I'm learning a lot about this weekend for the first time.
The only thing we finished
was bottle of whiskey. Tell people about the beds that were like up in the eaves, as it were.
Oh yeah. Now this place, I would recommend it to anybody. And let me just put a note in the thing to put in the show notes. Was it Moorside Farm in Hollingsclough, which is not far. It's between Buxton and Leek in the Peak District, and it's pretty much designed for ramblers. Now I'm not going to sit here and say that the accommodation was anything spectacular, because it wasn't, but it was very, very adequate, and it is a nice place. It's an old converted barn, so it's designed for ramblers. The sleeping area upstairs, there were two. There's a six person room and the 14 person like common area. Five bunk beds, sleeping 14 people. Doesn't add up, does it?
No, five bunk beds would do 10 people.
Exactly. So the remaining four people have to basically climb up into the roof through these rope ladders, which incidentally wouldn't have worked that well, because when Richard tried to get on the rope ladder to see what was up there, he kind of lurched forward. And had anybody been laying in that bed, he would have kicked him in the face. So that's not ideal. But basically, it's like this shelving system, which I thought was originally for bags. No, they're beds.
See,
beds you don't want to roll out of.
But what would worry me the most isn't the getting up there, because once I got up there, I'd be happy. It's the waking up in the morning, not realising, not remembering where I am, and sitting up.
Yes, because you only had about
knock yourself out, sort of
2-3 feet of space above you.
So, yes.
But no, it was very, very good. And the only downside was we had no mobile signal. We had to walk half a mile up the road to get a mobile signal.
More reason to do a bit of walking.
I tell you what, the view that we had coming out of the rolling out of bed. I was actually up at 7:30. I was the first one up. I was in the shower, got dressed, made myself a coffee, headed up to the top of the hill to get a message to you. And I walked up the top of the hill and I turned around and just looked at the peaks. And I tell you what, I would happily live without a mobile signal at the house to have the excuse to walk to the top of that hill to see that view.
Yeah.
It really was absolutely amazing.
Cool.
Very quickly, another thing that happened last weekend. Was it last weekend?
It
was the weekend before. Where are we now? 14th. 2 weekends ago. Yes, was Og Camp, which is something that we were... Don't go, oh.
You didn't have that on the list. You're adding things.
I know. Was Og Camp. which was a joint event organised by Linux Outlaws and the Ubuntu UK podcast. Now, it was something that we were going to go to this year, but because of the various other things that were going on, we literally couldn't afford to go. And both the podcasts associated with OGCamp released their shows today, I think it was. And it sounded like such an amazing event. I really want to try and make sure that we go next year. You've switched off, haven't you?
No, I'm listening.
Yeah. Really want to try and make sure that we go next year. And I figured that, bearing in mind that OGCamp is all around free culture, free software and free thinking, whether we could actually attempt a live broadcast of the Bugcast from OGCamp.
Ew.
Because this is all broadcast and done using
We've got almost a year
software.
To plan it.
Hmm?
We've got almost a year to plan it.
Yeah, absolutely. It could be fun.
Cool. Shall we do the next song then?
Yes.
A bit of comedy.
Aye.
Right, from the UK. The only UK track tonight, I believe, dear. Yes?
Yes, I believe so. All the rest are US. This is the only UK one.
Source from Music Alley. This is Dogs Must Be Carried with United Kingdoms of Whatever. They've been... Did I say whatever?
You did,
sorry.
Yes.
Oh, dear. United Kingdoms of Whenever. They've been spanking the music business since 1998, and they're a music collective started by Richard Cray, whose primary belief is that fun needs to be put back into music. Since 1998, they've been recording original comedy songs, pastiches of certain artists, direct parodies of songs, and the occasional mutant cover version, some of which are quite good, most made using lo-fi ethic of no... Oh, gosh. Low-budget stuff, basically, although some of the mixing is done with digital in the digital domain. We last played the song back on show 55 and thought I'd play it again. To find out more, check out dogsmustbecarried.co.uk, not dogsmustbemarried.co.uk, what I put on the show notes. And just so you know, we did check and there is not actually a domain doing that, so there is no weird thing about marrying dogs.
I think it is there. It's parked. Oh. So it's obviously... Obviously waiting for people to go and pick it up, but yes.
Call up the plumber to fix the toilet. Water all over the place. So when you're going to get here, they goes, whenever. Banging on the wall, loving thy neighbour, screaming, when are you going to finish putting up them shelves and get another hobby? They're like, whenever. Giving it some transport strategy. I'm like, when's the next 88 to Clapham, Kenny? Goes, we never. And this is my United Kingdom of whenever. This is my United Kingdom of whenever. This is my United Kingdom of whenever. Two in the morning, up watching the snooker, called the BBC, said, yo, when's the bloody X-Files going to be on there? Like, whenever. Christmas Eve, I'm wandering around Tesco's looking for the odd dogs. Ask this kid, when are you going to stop picking your nose and stock up? He's like, whenever. Then Joe comes around with an idea. I'm like, I suppose you want credit for that. He's like, yeah, of course I will, dick brain.
Hello?
Right, listen very carefully. I'm going to make this quick. We've got the best of all your British music. And if you ever want to hear it again, go to madeintheukshow.co.uk and follow the instructions. And remember, no coppers if you ever want to hear your music again.
echoes left like bells that would chill you. Rose smiled like an angel that would kill you. And Rose lived like life that should fill you. That's what I thought. I got that phone call today. That phone call changes time and color, grind my inner motion to a halt. The room starts, that slow motion spinning. My heart starts, that bizarre gripping. Sick inner nausea, which later reveals itself to be my prevailing inner sensation. I think forever. That phone call. Rearrange question everything. You changed my life. God and I are not on speaking terms anymore. Quick, someone call an intermediary. Rose is dead. And they say she died of suicide. Thank you.
Wow. Such a difference, because we went the fast, frenetic pace of Dogs Must Be Carried to the slow and deep.
That was very, very deep, wasn't it?
Yes.
I love the music. The rhythm behind the music was great. The poetry was great.
You have to really listen to that to get the full... I mean, usually when I'm researching, I only listen to parts of songs, but that's one that I had to listen to the whole way through.
You went all the way through, yeah.
Right, so... From a story in New York, sourced from Aerial Publicity, that was Lauren O'Brien with Rosa's Body. Described as one of the most exciting young poet performers on the scene today, the words that come through are often tense, sharp and hypnotic. Their words crouched in grinding guitars and thudding drums. Words with which emotional desperation also reveals the strangely paradoxical beauty and suffering, diamonds in the cave and waiting to be mined. Her main aim is to take poetry and rock it out, which she does, and then some in her debut album, Inconsequential Dreams. Sorry, Inconsequential Dream. If you want to find out more, check out laurenobrienmusic.com.
And I will definitely, I think, be picking out more of her music and listening to it. There are some on there that weren't really suitable for playing on the show, which is a shame, because in the case of poetry, it's... How can I put this? If it's expressional as opposed to gratuitous,
yes,
certain kind of language is more acceptable to me, but unfortunately not necessarily to people that listen to the show.
Maybe so. That's a question to put on the site, like a poll. You know, this is a work-safe show. Imagine, like, suppose if they're in a workplace area, it doesn't... It's not just them, it's anybody else.
No, that's true. But I mean, we could do that as an extra. And say right at the very beginning, you know, elements of the music in here may well contain concepts and language that will not be suitable for a general audience. Because there's some amazing tracks that I've not been able to play because I don't want them on this show. So, hey dee ho, how are we doing for time? Not amazingly good.
Well, don't worry about the Conlib thing. I think
everybody
knows that the Conservatives and Liberal Democrats have done a coalition.
I will say one thing, which is kind of the postscript to what we were going to talk about, and that is, for those that aren't aware, general election in the UK last week, there was no overall majority, hung Parliament, with the Conservatives getting the most number of votes. Conservatives have formed a coalition with the Liberal Democratic Party to gain an overall majority and therefore run the country. Now, I've been picking up on Facebook, Twitter, people I speak to at work. Oh, that's it. The country's shafted again. Labour spent the last 13 years trying to recover from the mess that the Conservatives got us into between 79 and 97. Oh, that's freaky.
Yes.
79 and 97. Blah, blah, blah. We're all going to hell, etc. The only thing I'll say is it's a new government. It's a new...
style of government.
Yeah, it's a new thought of government. Liberal Democrats have not been in power since 1918. And that was the hung Parliament as well. They've not had a chance. Conservatives have not been in power for the last 13 years. Now, I'm not going to say that Labour have done a bad job. I think they've done a fantastic job under the circumstances. Time's moved on. It's time to give someone else a chance to run the country. Let's see what happens in the next few months before people start judging on no performance.
I think, basically, in summary, if they... mess it up, complain all you like, but at least give them the chance to see what they'll do.
Exactly. People are knocking them down on the basis of the fact that they happen to have the same name as the party that Margaret Thatcher led from the early 80s. And everybody thinks, that's it, we're completely screwed. You know, people on the left, people on the right, people left of centre. No, forget it. That's not how it works anymore. Politics has changed. And I think... with this coalition between let's not forget, that the Conservatives did get A, the largest number of individual votes, and the largest number of seats. If they're so bad, why did they get that? Did you get me?
Yes. Stop banging the table because you're knocking my piece of paper.
Stop putting your bit of paper somewhere where it can be banged when I knock the table. Right. a couple of events coming up I want to let you know about. Did mention this one last week. The International Pop Overthrow in Liverpool. The Association of Music Podcasting has a presence there on Monday the 31st of May at the Cavern Club in Liverpool. We'll put links into the show notes. If you head to internationalpopoverthrow.com, you'll see the schedule for the entire of the Liverpool weekend and also the particular times and locations when the association will be active at the event. Saturday the 10th of July, the London Pod Crawl will be held at the Bridge House at London Bridge in London. If you want to find out more information about that, you can go to podcrawl.blogspot.com. You can also head to Facebook and do a search for London Pod Crawl 2010. If you want to come along, it's open to everybody, not just podcasters. If you want to come along and meet the people that you've been hearing for however long, then you are absolutely more than welcome. Head along to the Facebook page, mark yourself as attending, come along. We'll be in the pub from about midday. Rowley from Dark Compass in his last show did suggest that you might want to visit the Tower of London in the morning. Something we could do, in fact. The Tower of London is something you can visit in a few hours, and apparently the morning is the best time to go because it is quieter. So if you want to make a day of it, that's what you need to do.
Yes, even. Sorry, I was sort of talking away from the microphone right up here.
That would have been even better had you, come this way and it would have gone sort of cross speakers first. But yeah. Next week, the Bugcast episode number 110 will be broadcast live in the Bugcast chat room at thebugcast.org/live on Friday the 21st of May at 9 p.m. UK time.
The last Friday before Cara's third birthday.
Indeed. Absolutely. Now, I was about to say there's a week coming up soon where we're not going to be doing a show, but when there isn't, is there?
I don't think so.
No, there was going to be, but now there isn't.
I can't remember.
No, I can't either. Never mind.
The only thing that could be that is when it comes to the pod crawl, if we, like we said, we might take the Friday. You might take the Friday off and we might travel during the day.
That was it. And what we'll do in that case is we'll record a show earlier in the week and just set it to release at the right time. Because we can do that now.
Yeah.
But we could also have a crack at a live broadcast from the pod crawl, which will be immense fun. Well, it won't be the pod crawl, will it? Friday night, we'll be in a pub somewhere, in a hotel or something.
The pre-crawl.
The pre-crawl.
The pre-crawl or the pro... Oh, Dave,
the
just...
Pre-prong-prang-prong-prong.
Yes.
Yes. If you want to get in touch with the show and tell us what a complete bunch of nutters we are...
Numpties.
Can... Not sorry, nutters, numpties. Complete bunch of numpties we are. You can send an email to feedback@thebugcast.org. Head along to the Bugcast website at thebugcast.org. /contact, and you'll find all the information about where you can find us, our presence on social networking and elsewhere on to interwebs. I think that is it. I think all that remains then is to say thank you very much indeed to everybody for listening. Thank you to everybody who's in the chat room that's joined us for the live broadcast tonight. If you do want to head along to a future live show, we do broadcast at 9 p.m. most Fridays. And as I said earlier on, thebugcast.org/live is the place that you should go to. Now, we do still get, I mean, the count has disappeared from the website, but I'm going to try and get it back on there. But we are still getting between 50 and 60 downloads a week. And we're getting joined in the chat room, on average, between 7 and 10 people. Slightly less if you include us. So come along, listen just the once, and see what a complete hash-up we actually do make of these shows, but you won't necessarily, if you're listening on the podcast, actually hear them. So, with that in mind, we shall have our final song.
Right, and you didn't thank me this time.
Thank you, darling.
Nor, on your thing, other thanks to my What's other thanks,
What's
dear?
What's other thanks?
And so it's not just me who does typos.
And other thanks to my gorgeous co-host, Caroline. What does that mean, exactly?
Obviously, their thanks and my thanks aren't compatible with each other.
Well, when you think about it, they're not.
Right, we digress. To finish us off, to finish the show off, oh, God. From New York, source from Aero Publicity, we've got Derek and the Darling with Hustler with a Rescue Plan. Derek and the Darling is made up of Derek Nicoletto and Sammy Garrett. They started an electronica-inspired rock band at a time when many of us were starting improv troupes because they thought it was way less nerdy. They were later joined with musical director and veteran DJ Mike Fisher from Deep Dish on guitars, Ableton on synths, and British import Will Haywood on drums. By February 2010, the new band had formed and their debut five-song EP Rockface was complete, including a cameo from Taking Back Sunday's Matt Rubano on bass. This song was the first single from that EP, and again, it's Hustle with a Rescue Plan. If you want to find out more, check out derekandthedarling.com.
And we shall catch you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Rescue.